Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends, and welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. We're so thankful that you're with us on this Monday night, and we never take you for granted. We thank God for you each and every week, and we pray for you as God works in your life and raises those expectations each and every day. As you know, we're all blood-bought, born-again believers. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, and more than that, he's coming again for us someday. And in the meantime, maybe the greatest part is he walks with us every day, and he knows what's in store for our lives, especially when you walk, as it tells us in Ephesians, in the steps that he prepared for us each and every day. That makes life a joy. Oh, there's some ups and downs, and that leaves the places for those expectations to get raised, and that's what we're here for. We're looking forward to our program tonight, and thanks for your words all through the week, your texts and notes that have come in. Been praying over those. We want you to pray for Dr. Paul Hall. We'll tell you a little bit about that. He's in Illinois with his mom and dad. They're very, very ill, you know, and you know our Dr. Paul. He's a great man of God. He's there praying with his mom and dad. They're in their 90s, so be praying for him. They love the know the Lord, and they're great men and women, and they've got a great son that I've loved for 55 years as my brother in the Lord. So hold him in prayer. And as I go on to introduce the team to you, I'm going to go from here in Southern California, where he is, all the way to Georgia, which is actually the east, but kind of the south and the east. So as Ron and I would say, southeast will go just fine. And he's there in Dalton, Georgia. You're going to find two of our favorite people in the world, Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. And as we always say, and you let me know, Steph is the greatest health and wellness coach you're going to find anywhere, because she and her husband walk with the Lord, and they've got great insight that he gives them for each of your lives. Steph has a wonderful website called Wellness with Steph, and in there you'll find it, Live Your Life Out Loud and all kinds of things right here about what's happening as she helps women with things that are in their lives that they're dealing with. She becomes, as the scripture says, a friend who walks with God and sheds light from him in encouragement to each of them. So you want to look up her site here and see what she's posting, what's going on, and you will be excited and glad that you did. My daughter reads her up there in Ohio, and I get a firsthand report all the time of how much she is blessed by what Steph has to say. And it won't be that long till we get to Christmas. And when Christmas comes, no matter how healthy you are, we all get fudge. And that's important, so we get to heaven in Christmas time. So if we just hang a left, if you're facing north, and go east, figure that one out quick. We'll be going all the way to McKinney, Texas. And we're going to meet up with one of our favorite pastors in the whole world, Pastor Ron Greer. But just before we go there, you're going to see Ron right here. Hold on, Ron, I'm going to let you share this with me. She's married back in, just seeing if you're staying with me, in Georgia to the greatest surgeon you're going to find anywhere in the nation. And Ron and I both think such a great surgeon that we're going to team up on him tonight, especially since I got moving and almost forgot where he was, because This guy, I tell you, a trauma surgeon is someone that they talk to when they don't know quite what to do. And you've heard me say before, this man walks with God, and Tank always says, Lord, use me and show me and enlighten me and help these hands of mine that I've dedicated to you to bring life and to bring this person through the surgery they're facing. So Craig Thayer, we call him Tank, is there. He also has a great new book. You want to see his book, it's on our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. His book is called Saved, One Trauma Surgeon's True Account of the Miracles of His Life. And it's the story of finding God in the ordinary. We say it every week, and many of you repeat it back to me in text. Joe, God worked in the ordinary things in my life, and you share with me. That's what Craig wants to hear. Share it with him, because God's working every day in ways that we could never believe. Sometimes ways we don't even know how to ask for. So you want a copy of his book, go to our website there and you'll find it. You'll also find a book, my book that I've written there, as Zig Ziglar led me. It's called Legitimate Faith. And what does legitimate faith produce? It makes authentic hope. Authentic hope realizes that God always wins. Jesus never fails. And you're in the right team when you're walking with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Legitimate Faith. I hope you get a copy of that, and it'll speak to your life. Story of my life and things God has done. And it's taken from chapter 11 of Hebrews, the first five or six, actually the first nine verses. And hopefully it'll bless your life, just like Saved by Dr. Craig Thayer. Now, the one who was amening, if you listened in the background, that was Ron back in McKinney, and he was amening what I was saying. Pastor Ron is there in McKinney, and Ron is a counselor with, he's out of Florida, his group, and you're going to see it right there, man in the mirror, there's his page. You want to read about Ron. Ron's done just about everything in life. This man loves Jesus, loves to help men become the men that they can become. Greater husbands, greater leaders, greater dads. Greater helpers in whatever their job is, greatly following the steps God has given them. You want to read about Ron Greer there, and you'll realize just the reason all of us love Ron, and he means so much in our lives. This is a group of people that mean more in my life than you can imagine. Dr. Paul is listening right now from Illinois, and he is a special man of God. So, hey, Paul, we're praying for you, and I know you're watching. Hopefully, I don't know if you get your internet there. But in any event, we're holding you up in prayer, as are hundreds and hundreds of people I've been hearing from that are praying for you. So we're going to move right along. And this is the team. You all know them. Sometimes every week somebody says, who is that person on the team? So there will be a quiz next week to see who these people are. And I hope I can pass. But anyway, moving right along. We've got a guest tonight that you've been looking forward to. I know you've shared with me. This is a man of God who is very, very special. He is Scott Turner, as you have read and you have seen. I've shared some of this with you during the week. Many of you have gotten back to me about this and have asked about it. Scott Turner is a man of many walks of life. The main thing I love about him is when he speaks about, I want to be one who serves, not one who is served. And he goes in James and shares the scripture all the time of what it means to follow Christ this way. He's got a life that has walked in the steps God's prepared for him. It's impacted my life as I knew him in the past. And I know it's impacted everyone who he speaks with, whether it's in the NFL playing football and helping the players, helping them even today, or whether it's in community service, being appointed by President Trump to help and working with Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, or whether it's helping communities and education and educating and encouraging. Scott never does anything that's not filled with the encouragement that comes from his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to give him, which is patented now. I know that there are people over the world looking for this introduction. Stephanie starts. We're going to give you the right hand of fellowship, and we're going to welcome you, Scott, onto our program. Come on, Ron. There we go. Scott Turner. Welcome. We love you in the Lord. We're so glad you're here tonight and share with us. And
the right hand, too, I guess. Here you go.
Great, too. That's right. Make yourself at home, Scott.
Well, thank you, Pastor Joe. It's so good to be with you again. And my dear brother, Ron Greer, whom I love, he and his wife and his family, and Miss Stephanie and Dr. Thayer, so great to meet you. And Dr. Paul, we are praying for you as you are there caretaking and serving your parents. You know, the scripture that keeps coming to my mind is in Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. And it said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, and for the last couple of hours, the Holy Spirit has just been sharing that with me. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And as we all know, you know, our nation right now is not a nation that is in good shape overall. our nation is a nation that's struggling. And it's a nation that has turned, generally speaking, from the Lord. But I'm encouraged tonight because of this great team. You know, I look at you all and I hear you all and I see the smiles in your face and the joy of the Lord in your heart and how you honor God, how you honor each other. And it makes me proud to be a Christian. Amen. It makes me proud to be a churchman. It makes me proud to be a pastor. It makes me proud to be an American. And it makes me proud to be in the body of Christ. And so I say that from the bottom of my heart. And maybe that's why God put it on me that blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, because I'm in front of people who honor God and live in this great nation. And so thank y'all for welcoming me tonight. God has been so gracious to me. And Pastor Joe, you said it, you know, my heart's cries, but Lord, I don't want to be served. I want to serve like you did with that, whatever gifts you've given me, the platforms that you have blessed me with, the friendships, the spheres of influence, the resources. I want to give them all back to the Lord in the way of serving his people and serving his church and serving my country. I was so blessed to play in the National Football League. You know, a lot of people look at me and say, well, man, you're too small to play football. And, you know, I always am reminded of Moses. I studied about Moses this morning and God said, what is in your hand? He said, a staff. He said, well, throw it down. And he threw it down and it became a snake. And obviously the Bible says that he started running. And the Lord said, no, pick it up by the tail. Well, how unconventional and a big no-no is that? Don't pick it up by the tail. But when he did, it returned to a staff. And God reminded me, are you using what I have given you?
Amen. That's right.
And God gave me, referring back to my career in the NFL, he gave me tremendous speed. I was able to run real fast. And I think it's because I was running from people when I was a running back. But then when I switched to defense, I was running to people. And I always hit them before they hit me. And I say that because I want to serve as a humble reminder,
amen,
that God has given each of us skills, talents, gifts. And I wonder, are we using those talents, skills, and gifts to, one, glorify him, two, to bring a solution to a problem, and three, to make a generational impact for the kingdom of God?
Amen.
And for all of those who are listening tonight, no matter how your bio reads, no matter what your resume is, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord, as it says in James. And I encourage you that whatever that gift, whatever those gifts are, use them to glorify God and to make an impact in your generation. You know, going to serve in the Texas House of Representatives was something that was clearly outside of my comfort zone. I was coming out of a 9-year career in the NFL. I did an internship with a U.S. congressman there in San Diego. His name was Duncan Hunter. Duncan Hunter showed me what it meant to be a statesman in the midst of the federal government. And then God brought a man named J.C. Watts along who showed me what it meant to go against the status quo. And these two men taught me and showed me that maybe one day that I would also be in elected service. And so when I ran for the House of Representatives here in Texas, I went in not as someone who was a big football star, but I went in as someone to be a vessel of honor. And to serve with humility and lay my life down for those who elected me. And Joe, I'm so glad that, and Ron and I have talked about this, and Ron Greer was a huge part of my service in the Texas House. He was a prayer warrior, an advisor, and a leader, an encourager for me. In particular, when I ran for the Speaker of the Texas House, Ron was on his knees at my home in Frisco multiple times, praying and beseeching and calling down fire from heaven. And God protected me like an iron dome of protection. And he used me there. And so, Ron, thank you for stepping up at that time of my life as we were serving this nation and our state together. But I learned during that time and during my time in the NFL, that when God calls us to be men and women of God in different institutions, in different environments, in different walks of life, in whatever atmosphere we're in, when he calls us to do that, he never calls us and then not guide us or lead us or protects us. He's already equipped us before he calls us. And I am a living witness and a testimony that this kid from Richardson, Texas, I was a dishwasher at Spring Creek Barbecue.
Amen.
That we will surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has already equipped us. He's already set us apart. He's already anointed and ordained and given us everything we need. Now is will we truly obey him to be a witness in the places that he takes us. And I thank God that by his grace that he allowed me to do so in these last years of my career and my life, and then going on to the White House and serving with Dr. Carson in the Trump administration, leading the Opportunity Zone effort, was a transformational time in my life. To go into the most poverty-stricken areas of our country, both rural, tribal, and urban, and to build public-private partnerships, and to bring the good news of Jesus to the most distressed, underserved places in America. And I learned, and I want the team to hear this, I learned that poverty comes in so many different ways. There's economic poverty, there's spiritual poverty, there's family poverty, there's educational poverty, and poverty doesn't have a party. It doesn't have a color. It doesn't, it's not favorable to anyone. It impacts all of us either directly or indirectly. But one thing I know, that going into these impoverished situations, when you go with Jesus and you bring the good news of the gospel,
amen,
things will change.
That's right.
And I saw it. I'm a living witness. I saw it. And education has been a huge part of not just my life. As a student athlete, I had to have good grades in order to compete. When I went to college, the goal was not just to go to college, but to graduate college because football will end. And when I left college, my goal was to help those kids who were stuck in school districts that were underserving them to give them a proper education. Because Dr. Ben Carson always says, Scotty, if we give kids a proper education, it raises the trajectory of their life.
Amen.
A kid in poverty in rural Pennsylvania, a kid in poverty in urban South Dallas or Liberty City, Miami, a kid in the Squalom Tribe at Olympic Peninsula, Washington, if they have the proper education, they can have a trajectory of promise. And so now, and Dr. Lori Todd Smith is joining us, we serve at America First Policy Institute, and I have the opportunity to serve as a chairman of the education, the Center of Education Opportunity, because so many kids are stuck in school districts that underserve them. And Pastor Rod, I know we'll get together in this, and I know we can talk about education in a minute, but I'm just so grateful to have this time to share with you all as a young man from Richardson who God touched and lifted up, and I owe him everything because he is my everything and he's the great I am. And so thank y'all for having me.
Oh, amen.
It's great having you, sir. Just listening to your words and bringing Christian leadership to all the places that you're taking it. I mean, you're like the most ideal person to do that. You blast through like a 400 meter run, or a cornerback, I think you were, right? So yes. Take them out, keep it contained.
Yes, sir.
But you have that unique quality of blending and being with anybody, anything, and see your passion.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yep. Hard to believe he's a politician, preacher, and a right.
It's refreshing. I like it.
And I wish we had more time to go through his background, because I think people would be fascinated at the spectrums that God is taking you through in your life and accomplishments. But tell us one thing about your family.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your lovely family.
Yes. So I have a wife. Her name is Robin. We have been married going on 29 years. We graduated, both of us, from the University of Illinois. So she's my college sweetheart. And she is amazing. And I thank God for her because she has kept me just like this. Because you can imagine, I could go from 0 to 100 like this. And my wife has been, she's a woman of God. And I thank God for
I would testify to that, yes.
thank you, sir. And we have a nephew named Solomon who we took into our home when he was 8 years old and raised him as our son. So by birth, he's my nephew, but by choice, he's my son. And he just graduated from the University of Illinois. I'm real proud of him.
Did he play football?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I found some old
Green, big guy.
articles of you saying that he was looking at colleges, and I was like, I wonder how old this article is.
Yeah, he did. He played football there. Yes, ma'am.
Well, and he's not a running back though. He's a
Yeah, he's a safety. He's about 6'2", 220 pounds
Yes, sir.
on a light day.
Yeah.
Oh, now Scott, tell us a little bit more about your work with Dr. Carson and what exactly are the economic zones that the Trump administration were working on?
So in 2017, Congress passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It was a big tax overhaul in our country. In 2018, it was signed into law. And part of that law was the Investment Opportunity Act, which is a rider, and it created opportunity zones. So Senator Tim Scott, who was the chief legislator, I believe, on opportunity zones, because President Trump was asking, what are we going to do? And at that time, he said, what are we going to do about forgotten Americans, those who have been forgotten, those who have lived in our communities that haven't seen investment in decades? And so they created opportunity zones. Opportunity zones are impoverished neighborhoods that have a high crime rate, have a low median income, have a high poverty rate. They're food deserts, health deserts. And so in our country, every governor, every territory leader, every tribal leader was given the assignment to nominate 25% of eligible census tracts around our country to become opportunity zones. These zones haven't seen investment in many, many years, many, many decades. And so once thriving metropolises, once thriving downtowns, once thriving rural areas that now are blighted, dilapidated, and boarded up. And so 8,764 of these census tracts have been labeled opportunity zones. When that was done, President Trump created a coordinating council called the White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council, WHORC, WORC, as we affectionately called it. And through an executive order, they created a position for the first executive director of this council. And that was a job that President Trump appointed me to lead, to be the steward of this council. Dr. Ben Carson, who was the secretary of HUD, was the chairman of this council. And so my job was to lead 15 domestic agencies. So if you think of all of the secretaries in the president's cabinet, labor, commerce, HUD, education, was to lead their staffs into these opportunity zones and build public-private partnerships with stakeholders in each of these areas. And so I would go in, Ron, and I went to 80 cities, nearly 80 cities, in less than 2 years in our country, and traveled around having these convenings with these stakeholders, education leaders, faith leaders, community leaders, elected officials, and entrepreneurs to say, what is the pain of the community? And once we identified the pain, then we would come up with strategies for long-term sustainability and generational impact. And this was a life-changing, transformational time in my life because, as I said, when I went into these cities, and you mind you, here I am, a conservative Christian working for President Trump, going into these areas that 95% of them were not on the same side of the political aisle as me, But as I've stated before, when you go in with the truth of the gospel, when you go in with a solution and you go in saying poverty is not red or blue, poverty is here. And how can we all come together not only to just eradicate poverty, but to educate the constituency, to build new housing, to build new operating businesses. And so at the end of all of this, it was about close to $75 billion of private money that was invested in opportunity zones. And sitting with Ben Carson on a daily basis, as you all can imagine, was really good for me. He taught me so much, and he still does to this day, as God has really knit our hearts together. I've learned a lot from him. And I will tell y'all this, Ben Carson is a godly man.
Amen.
And I have seen him impact even the president of this country in ways that nobody else did. And so anyway, Pastor Rod, that was kind of my experience with okay. that.
You know, I just, if we could get Dr. Carson not to talk so much when he's when not so loud, he'd probably be doing a lot better.
Yeah.
That's a position problem.
As you said, he's an amazing man. Yeah. And my first impression of him wasn't very good. First time I met him back in the '90s, he said five words in about an hour of people talking.
Yeah.
I kept thinking like, come on. Yeah. But when he does talk,
take your time as a surgeon, huh, Ron? You take your time as a surgeon. Yeah,
but they're nuggets though. He's a quiet man, but when he comes, it's pure gold.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you guys go. Who's got a question? I'm sorry. I don't want to dominate.
No, that's good. Scott, I've never even heard of this work program. I love it. It's
shocking.
Right? It's a great idea. Does it still exist? What has happened with it?
It does. And so when they signed the legislation, Opportunity Zones was certified for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so they end, or they sunset, if you will, December 31st, 2026. Okay. So right now, albeit that we're not in the administration any longer, the Biden administration, they ended the council for, say it nicely. I encourage them not to do so, but they ended the council, but the law is still active. And so people still invest and still building the opportunity zones. But it sunsets December 31st, 2026, but there is legislation to extend this for another 2 years. It hasn't been passed yet, but we're really hopeful that it does, because in opportunity zones, and I'm going to kind of go back to education, in opportunity zones, you can actually build charter schools. Mm-hmm. You can build education facilities to serve kids that are stuck in school districts that are underserving them. And that was one of the beauties of the work of Opportunity Zones, is that people such as all of us who care, and Lori Todd, who care about kids that live in zip codes that literally have them in educational prison, because we know in our country today that the public school system, generally speaking, is failing our children. Yes. And y'all, the work that we do at America First Policy Institute, as we serve on the Center for Education Opportunity, a lot of this was derived out of our time at the White House and derived out of our work in revitalization, because we saw the education poverty, we saw the deterioration of education in our country. And so now there are 75 school choice programs in our country in 34 different states.
Amen.
And so people are rising up, parents are rising up, and states and legislators are recognizing, hey, we have, you know, kids, hundreds of thousands of kids in opportunity zones in urban and suburban and tribal areas that are not being educated properly. And as you all know, this is our future workforce. And so there has been great work done from AFPI and from other centers that are literally going to legislators and writing white papers and doing research. Dr. Lori Todd, that's on with us now, has personally testified in front of Senate committees and House committees and written research and white papers. And some of her colleagues are doing the same, both at AFPI and other places, to say, hey, just because a kid lives in this zip code doesn't mean that he or she does not have tremendous godly potential. But the only way that that can be unlocked is if we allow them and parents to choose the school of their choice to best serve their child. And so, and that's part of the work we do now at AFPI. But Steph, to your point, it's still in the law, it's still operating. But just think of the opportunities we will have to continue to build these type of institutions in our beloved communities.
Amen.
Great. That's
Go ahead,
great.
Steph. I'm sorry. Did that
No,
make sense, Steph?
just, wow. I mean,
Yeah, that's amazing.
it breaks my heart that it's not active. I can't say I'm surprised, but
That's all right. We
yeah.
still working.
it's coming back. It's
Still
coming
trusting God for that. Still trusting
Any
God for that.
help in supporting the parents, like in Virginia and other places where, like ACSI and others, have they maybe been people that could latch on and help here and there as you saw fit to support parents' rights? We get a lot
Yes.
of questions on parents' rights, Scott.
Yeah, and the parents, when you look across, let's just, for lack of a better word, when you look across society, across ethnic groups, over 70% of Black families and Hispanic families, white families support school choice. And what has happened historically is the Democrat Party, and I'm not, this is not political, this is just a fact,
Just fact,
has
fact.
said, well, Black people that live in impoverished areas, they don't matter. They don't care about education for the kid. No, they do. They
Exactly.
do care.
Amen.
They want their kids to have a better education than they did. And
Amen.
so we take for granted that Black families or Hispanic families, don't care about school choice. Well, it is overwhelming, the care. And when parents say, I don't care if I have to get on the bus for 3 hours each way, I want my child to have a good education. America is flipping. America is the parents of America are rising up when it comes to school choice for their children. Because y'all, like me, I went to a public school. I went to J.J. Pierce High School. At that time, J.J. Pierce was a tremendous school, and I was very blessed to go there. But when we took Solomon into our home, Solomon had been through a very traumatic situation with his mom, my sister. And so we put him in the second grade in a public school, but we recognized that he wasn't getting what he needed to heal, to learn, to grow. And so we put him in Prestonwood Christian Academy. Now, thank the Lord that he has given us the grace and the resource to do so.
Amen.
But when that started, I said, well, man, what about all those parents who have the same desire as I do, who have the same heart for their children as I do, but they may not have the resources? Well, how can all of us in America who do have the resources, both from a legislative standpoint, from a private wealth standpoint, from a corporate standpoint, from a policy standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, how can we all come together to create policies and education savings account and universal school choice to help those parents who may not be able to pay for it? And that's the movement that you're seeing now. And Joe, to your point, the America First website, AFPI website, if you see that or go there, and I can send it to you, has a portion on there for America First parents. Okay. And it's a great resource. And for your listeners, for those who engage with you all on a weekly basis, I would encourage them to go look at AFPI website and get encouraged and educated on what school choice is, and for that matter, a whole bunch of other policies that impact our country, but for the sake of our conversation for education.
Amen.
Here's one of those ironic things. School
Thank you,
choice.
Scott.
There's a woman by the name of Polly Williams, who's considered the architect of school choice. actually it's Rosalind's cousin. And
wow.
Rosalind worked with her when they were developing school choice in the state legislature in Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Polly Williams was dyed-in-the-wool, lifelong Democrat.
Polly, P-O-L-L-Y?
P-O-L-L-Y, Polly Williams.
Yes, sir.
She was an architect and creator of school choice. She lived in inner city Milwaukee, never moved, but wanted something better for her grandkids and get them out of the schools. She designed this whole idea of school choice.
Yes, sir.
A black inner city Democrat.
Yes, sir.
And her entire party has spent the last, 30 some odd years fighting that.
Yep.
It's the most ironic thing ever. You have a Democrat and a leader in the party who saw the need, developed that, had a heart for inner city and poor kids.
Right.
And the people who are most opposed to it are her borough party. It's mind boggling when you think of it. It really is.
The other thing that I'm
sensitive to, as you said, is that being trapped in a school system and an area where you have no choice at all.
Yes.
And you're held hostage. Your kids are held hostage.
That's right.
Again, Milwaukee 53206. Trust me.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
And by the grace of God, my mother was one of those stubborn, hard-headed parents. Says, I don't care.
There you go.
We literally did ride the bus an hour every day in the middle of winter, doesn't matter, and an hour home every day.
Yep.
She said, my kids are never going back to those schools in there.
Amen.
But like you said, I would. Why can't they have the opportunity that other kids in the suburbs have? Why can't you?
That's right.
You're especially your taxpayer. You're working and paying taxes. How about you give the money to me from that my child that you're paying toward my child? Give me that money.
There
Let me decide where to put them.
There you
Amen.
Go.
That's right.
And it creates competition, y'all.
Yes. Which is why I opposed.
That's right. The Council of Economic Advisors has the data that says that school choice increases the impact of children, both public and private school.
Yes, yes.
It raises the level of the teacher's performance.
Yes.
There you go. Amen.
There's no participation trophies.
Yeah.
You either perform or you don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if we can keep people down, we can control them.
That's yes. right.
And unfortunately, that's what's been going on the last 30, 40, 50 years in these neighborhoods. Because if I can keep you down, then I can control the narrative. I can control the way you think, which that might be for another podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's true. And when we came home, if I may add something, when we came home from the White House, Robin and I, my wife and I were praying, you know, what can we do, you know, with the platform and the relationships and the resource the Lord has given? What can we do that will outlast us?
Yes.
And this part of family and education and what I saw around this country, I said, okay, we have got to do something, just whatever little bit we can do. And, you know, I just heard the Lord say that he could break every chain.
There you go. Amen.
The Lord can break the chains.
One by one.
But when we got home, the Lord put on our heart to start a family foundation. We heard about a young girl in the Dallas Independent School District who was in the fifth grade, but read at a first grade level.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all, only one third of fourth graders in this country read at grade level proficiency. One third. There's 130 million illiterate adults in Texas. And that was a census taken in 2022.
Yeah.
COVID wiped out two thirds of the progress that we made educationally. Yeah. But when we got home and we learned about this young girl, said, well, she's in the fifth grade and reads at a first grade level. As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we said, okay, what shall we do? Because this child is illiterate. And the stats say that in rural poverty and urban poverty, there are multiple generations living in one home, Ron.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
So if this young girl
is
illiterate, she lives in the projects in South Dallas, what does that say about her home? Either her mom or her grandmama, whomever it is there. Either they're illiterate, they don't care, or they just don't know, all of which are not okay.
That's right. Amen.
And so we prayed about it. And so now we build early childhood reading labs through our foundation, CEOC, Community Engagement and Opportunity Council, CEOC.org. We build these learning, these reading rooms for children, and we provide a free after-school program for kids K through five so that their parents can bring them and so they can learn how to read properly. We're not the teacher. We don't teach them to read. We teach them to read better. And we teach them Christ-like character. Mm. They come in, and y'all are like this. They come in, and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. And they do the pledge to the Bible. And then they pray. And then they do their Bible memory verses. And then they go to their custom education program, because each child is different, right? Education is not one size fit all.
Yeah.
So they all have a custom trajectory that they do on the iPad for about 20 minutes. And then they read to each other. And then the teachers read to them. And then they have their activity and their parents come get them. And the results that we have seen over the last 2.5 years have been astounding. Just to see, just to spend that time with kids and to put a book and a Bible and word in front of them and love them. And I've seen the Lord do amazing things. So if y'all would just continue to pray for our foundation, I really appreciate that. But I've learned that if we use, as I said in my opening remarks, if we use what the Lord has given us,
amen, amen,
He could do amazing things.
That's right. That's so right.
Now, around Take the area here, question. A little bit more about the sites. So, and when my last contact, you had three sites, three churches,
two churches.
Uh-huh. Tell them how that works. How do you come up with the churches?
So we partner with churches because one, like-mindedness. Mm. And a big part of our foundation is to introduce these children to Christ. Mm. And to teach them the Bible.
Amen.
And I have a partnership with Prestonwood Baptist Church, where Ron and I serve. And then with New Life Community Church in Little Elm, Texas. Because at the church, one, the kids, a lot of the kids are either from the church or around the church, schools around the church, or they go to the church. And some of the kids who have never been to church now are bringing their families to church because they came to the learning lab and they met Jesus.
Amen.
I think I baptized a couple of them already. But anyway, we partner with churches because we want to be able to bring people to the house of God, to be like-minded with our partners, to preach the gospel and spread the good news. And then to, you know, because church attendance has decreased so much. And I love God's house. I love the church. And so anything I can do to bring people in the doors of the house of God, we want to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're covering what I've read more recently is that the Gen Z boys are completely lost. Yeah. They're gender confused. They're Christian unknown. You know, if one generation's passed that by, they have no idea. They're without knowledge, agnostic. So what I've read is gentlemen like us need to step up and mentor these youth and teach them what it is to be a man.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And a believer in Christ.
Out there.
That's what you're doing with your projects. Yeah. And so, and Ron, at a whole other level.
Yeah, Ron is
in the mirror.
That's where Ron lives every day.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you, Dr. Thayer. That's a great reminder to us, you know, that God has called us for such a time as this.
That's right.
Amen.
At that point, next week, we're going to have Dr. Thayer and Steph. They're going to be sharing a subject that they've been bringing, grace and mental illness, mm-hmm. and medical and counseling insight and the things that they're going on. They all fit like a hand in a glove with what God's doing. And that just speaks again of what you said in the beginning, Scott, about you give God what you've got and watch what he's going to do beyond even the things they normally do. Again, this will be a great thing coming up. We're
Hey,
gonna take one
let me
more
say one
question
more. I'm
there, and then
sorry.
we're gonna stop at 55. We gotta actually in about 3 minutes we gotta do a commercial, Ron. But you know how that works. Go
That's,
ahead,
I forgot.
Ron. You got another question? Yeah. Wish we had 2 hours, but we don't.
Right. No, I was gonna say before we get out here, I mean, there are people who see individuals on the program and other places, and then you think, oh, well, it sounds good and great ideas. But I want to say this. I'm gonna give a shameless plug.
Do
The guy you listen to, look at there, he is the absolute real deal. It ain't a
absolutely.
lot of hot air and a lot of great ideas. The
That's
guy actually, he's the real deal through and through, and what you hear is his heart. And again, all the time we've known him, he has not wavered once. So I want you guys to know that. So the things he tells you, he feels them, he understands them, and believes them to his core. And
right.
I'm telling you, blessed to have met him, blessed to know him.
Thank
Real
you.
deal.
I
You
know,
know
there are little things in life, Scott, little things you never know, like Ron's saying. But I will never forget, there are times I've told people before, somebody would come up behind me in church and give this huge bear hug. And at first, I had no idea who it was. And I'd say, "Is that you, Scott?" You say, "Good morning, Pastor Joe." Little things like that, great signs of encouragement, huh, Ron? You never know. Little
Amen.
things. He uses you in
Amen.
everything.
Joe, I think they thought you were choking and they were giving you a high five.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I don't know. He came out of nowhere. He
Just
was a
in
corner. He was a
that,
cornerback, man. He came out of nowhere, you know?
Well, I like to again, get a commitment here earlier down the line someplace where we come and talk about the
Yeah.
political ramifications of some of the things we've been touched on today.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Whenever y'all ready, I'll be back.
All
Well, I'm going to call
right.
you off or text you tomorrow and see if we can get a date, Ron. Good
All
move.
righty.
Check on that.
I really do. I'm excited about what they're doing because again, as you said, it's just part of my heart. I mean, one of the passages that just stuck and kind of hit me like a brick way back when I first started studying, and where scripture says that, when God people come into the land, he says, you have to learn my command, this law, right? And you put in your heart. And then he goes on the very next thing, if he tells them what the way they're to serve and believe, he says, teach things diligently to your children. That
Yes.
when you rise up in the morning, you go about the way you lay down. There's an emphasis on making sure we focus on teaching kids and passing on what God has given us into those kids. And later on, there's a curse attached that if you do not do that,
Yeah.
God is indeed will curse a nation of people. And I truly believe the way we have treated and disregarded the children in America is one of the very reasons we're suffering the judgment we're suffering to this day,
Amen.
from both avoiding killing them and also neglecting them and then damaging them.
Yes,
So
sir.
I praise God for the work
Go
they're doing.
ahead. You know
That's
what,
great.
Pastor
Well,
Ron,
as we
I have
shift
this
it,
book.
go
Oh,
ahead,
wait.
Scott.
Right here. This is AFPI's Biblical Foundations. It is on my desk open to Deuteronomy 6,
Six,
6 and
six.
7.
Yes.
These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall
Amen.
teach them diligently to your children and
Yes.
shall talk to them of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie
Yes.
down, and when you rise up. So I
Yes.
affirm that is the word of the
Praise
Lord.
God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
Word of the Lord. That's it. Well, ladies and
Amen.
gentlemen, we want you to know too. We're gonna thanks. Good move, Ron. We're gonna ask God if he'll come back with us again and cover a couple of these things with us, and it works out well. And we've got some guys coming up here. Scott knows them. Kurt Schlichter will be with us again for a couple of times coming up here. And Denise Gary Pendall, senatorial candidate who's working with President Trump now on some things. We've got some others that they're all coming up here. The head of the California Republican Women, she'll be with us again. A lot's been happening here on the West Coast. So all of it's under the realm of prayer. Prayer, prayer, and more prayer, and the things that they're sharing. Well, we have a prayer request, and I'm going to pass the ball. Ron, here, pitch it to you. You can pass it with me to Stephanie. And Stephanie, give a word for us about we can always use your help too, so that we can bring these folks to you, Steph.
Yeah, sure. We love that you come hang out with us. Please share and keep coming back because we appreciate it. That's why we're here. You can check out everything there is to know about us. Well, not everything, but a lot of things at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You'll see right there at the top, there's a couple easy high-tech ways that you can give. And if that is not what's easy for you, you can scroll down a little bit and there's instructions on how to reach out directly to Pastor Joe. It does take money to make things go and be on the air. So we always appreciate your generosity. And then if you keep scrolling down, you can listen to past shows. They're all there. They're great. They're recorded. So anytime you can just plug in there and catch up if you want to find, you know, your favorite person that we had on. And then each of the co-hosts, there's ways that you can follow us, connect with us, learn a little bit about us. And at the bottom of that, there is my husband's book and Pastor Joe's book. So that's just a great spot to kind of go and connect with us. And as always, we're on all the major platforms and social media and streaming, and we're everywhere. Just look for Raising Expectations.
Yeah, it'll pop up for you. You'd find us too. A lot of people on Amazon Podcasts, they listen to it instead while they're driving. Amazon Podcasts updates it every week. So folks, anything you do, we appreciate your help very much. We just want to be a blessing and use what we can, like Scott said. And you won't find any greater people on a team than the people we have here. They bless my life every week, and I know they're a blessing to you from what you share with me. Hey, Scott, give us a thought, maybe if you could, in a minute or two, like 2 minutes, about the call of God in your life, and maybe what you would share with us again so that we could pray for you.
Okay, thank you. This has been a blast. I've had a lot of fun. Thank y'all for inviting me. You know, this is where I live, to be with the people of God, to share the word of God and impact our generation. And I would just say, I really covet your prayers and your support and encouragement. One, that God keeps me healthy, that I may continue on this mission and do the work that he's called me to do. And really that God will continue to give me clarity.
Yes.
For which way he wants me to go. My life is not my own. It belongs to him. And so I want to do what he desires for me to do. And it's calling me to. I do love my country.
Yes.
And I love the people of this country. And I don't know what's going to happen. Only God does. But what I do know is that he'll make it clear to us which way to go. The Bible said that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And Pastor Joe, you alluded to that earlier. And so if you would just pray for me that God keep me healthy and keep my vision clear, that would be a great blessing to me.
Hank, would you lead just a brief prayer for him in that line? Just give him a prayer.
Sure. Dear God, thank you for this group. Thank you for Scott and the light that he is to so many people,
yes,
so many age groups, so many ethnicities, so just people. You can see the love that he has in his heart. Keep that flame going.
Yes,
give him wisdom when he needs it or when he asks.
Yes,
just, you know, give him guidance that he's clearly going down the right path. Yes. Always have him leading as a Christian, and that people see that wherever he goes. Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, amen. Thanks for tuning in tonight to your show, Raising Expectations, and be in prayer as we continue to reach out for you. And remember, talk to the Lord tonight. Talk to the Lord tomorrow. Talk to the Lord every moment you get. But don't forget while you're doing that to listen to him and do what he says, because then you can't wait to talk to him again. It gets so exciting when you use what he's given you, like Scott says, for him. So we pray for you. We pray God to bless you. And we're going to go out with our famous exit. It hasn't been around for years, but we bring it all the time. Scott, we have a famous exit. Are you ready for this? And we say goodnight. God bless you, Scott. And we're going to close out with this. Take it away, Ron.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Amen.
Happy trails to you.
Amen.
Until we meet again.
Good Amen. Night, the Lord bless and keep you. God bless. We'll see you later, friends.
All Thank right. you.
Thank you, sir.
Don't tell nobody about that, man.
I won't. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, Scott. Bless you, God bless you, brother.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.